town.
Scene 3. Restoration.
Is that the time already? Sorry, I was just grabbing a quick brew. Don't be shy, come on. Pull up a log to sit on. I'll just put my phone on vibrate. It's a nice spot, isn't it? Hard to believe it used to be a working colliery with all the greenery and wildflowers. Nature's doing her best to take the site back. There's owls and everything round here at night. I could hear them very clearly from inside my tent. Oh, I'd offer you all a brew, but I'd have to fetch the water from the museum's tea room and boil the kettle at least 10 times. That's why we asked volunteers to bring their own flasks and butties. Oh, not that I'm assuming you're going to sign up today. You can't become an eco-warrior on a whim. But it's important you see what's involved before you do. And don't worry about the tent. We don't expect everyone to camp out either. Otherwise it'd be like Glastonbury up here. No. This is just my own personal campaign. The museum volunteers have been very nice letting me stop overnight. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun a bit. I can see you're all thinking, uh-oh, I only came here to hear about volunteering, not sign up to some environmental boot camp. I always get carried away. My partner, Kane, he says, Eve, you're off on one again. Slow down, back off. You're scaring the horses. Not that there are any horses here. Just a statue of a pit pony, but you know what I mean. Anyway, you've seen all the history stuff around the Lancashire Mining Museum, yeah? Miner's cottage, engine room, headgear, tick. It's great, isn't it? And it's super important that we learn all about all the amazing inventors and innovators who changed the way we live and work. But you know what we don't hear enough about? The people who try to keep things the same. Because protecting stuff isn't as glamorous and it's exciting as changing stuff, is it? But we're getting there slowly. How many of you have heard of David Attenborough? Show of hands. Yeah, of course you have. Greta Thunberg? Yeah, she's pretty well known and all, isn't she? But what about this bloke on my t-shirt? No one? Thought so. More about him later, but first, what is it about the Earth that makes people always feel like they have to own it? Ever since human beings could walk and talk, they've been divvying it up into parcels and yelling, "Get off my land!" And all this from short-lived mammals who come and go like mayflies on a planet that's 4.54 billion years old. Well, give or take 50 million years. There was always some big shot who bagsied a patch of land then charged everyone else to live on it. And you'd have to fork out more for growing crops or grazing animals. Even bogland like Chat Moss, the kind of land most people avoided because they never knew where it might be more bog than land, even that was divided up into strips with rights of turbary to cut the peat for fuel. For years, the big shots just told the plebs what to do, and we accepted it. Then Parliament got involved, made it all official, and now half of England is owned by less than 1% of the population. 1%! Can you believe that? We're talking about the Earth here. A celestial body. Now, I don't want to get all new age on you, but some scientists believe in the Gaia theory. That the Earth is one giant living organism with everything on it, including us. Part of a single self-regulating system that maintains the conditions for life. And if they're right, then we're all stuffed. Because for years we've been taking and taking and giving nought back. Chat Moss is the perfect example. In the 19th century, they thought it was a big wet waste of space, so they dug channels to drain it, make it useful for growing crops. And if that wasn't bad enough, hello, we're talking about destroying a whole ecosystem here. In 1893, the de Trefford family sold it to the Cleansing Committee of Manchester City Council for sewage disposal. You couldn't make it up, could you? Dig it, drain it, and cover it in. At least World War One stopped the peat cutting for a bit. But by then, the water levels had dropped so much that scrubgrass and trees took hold. And the layer of leaves was added to by night soil, which is a polite way of describing the free fertiliser from Manchester and Salford's outside bogs. Phew! In the 20s and 30s, there was so much topsoil that the council used Chat Moss as a giant allotment to grow vegetables and salad crops. Then in World War II, they encouraged the Germans to bomb it. I'm sorry. I'm not being flippant. I'm just playing devil's advocate to get you to see things from the Moss's point of view. I know, a bit new age again, but